If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we are back to Family Point 2.0. This is going to be an ongoing series throughout the entire year as we focus on the family, as we focus on, and we're calling this the year of the family, and it's our desire that as a church that we clear some calendar space so that we can create time for families to gather around the Word. You know, you might be married with kids in the home or married with kids out of the home. You might be a single parent in the same situation. You might be a single. You might be a widow. Listen, what family looks like for you is different for everyone. But it's our goal that we gather around the Word. And man, I'm hearing just incredible stories of parents for the first time ever gathering around their kids around the Word and talking to them about the Lord. And so every once a month for this entire calendar year, we're going to pick a different emphasis on family, and we're just going to be starting with marriage. So we have a marriage event tonight from 6 to 8 at the South Campus. If you have not registered for this, we're kind of out of space, okay? But I have heard of a couple of couples that they're not able to attend because they're sick or whatever, so we might have a couple of tickets that come available. If you want to go to that event tonight, if you're a married couple and want to come to that event tonight, and you have not registered, you need to see me like right after church, and we'll work through that. So today's sermon, it's sort of delicate as far as what the text calls for men and women, calls for husbands and wives to be about it, and it's delicate because. Last week, over a million people marched in this, gathered together in this protest, in this what's known as the Women's March for Women's Rights. Okay, and so we read the text, and the text here, we're going to read things that are controversial because of what's going on in culture. Now listen, I'm for everyone being treated with dignity and respect. Listen, especially our women, okay? I'm for everyone being treated with dignity and respect. But what God's Word does is it comes in and it addresses, it speaks of male and female as being distinct. And listen, that's glorious. It's glorious. Listen, God doesn't speak of men and women being unequal in any way. He speaks of them being distinct. Okay? Distinct. In other words, He takes certain characteristics of Himself and He gives them to male, and He takes certain characteristics of Himself, and He gives it to female as a whole of us being made in the image of God. And He's designed for all of life to work a certain way that leads to all joy, pleasure, and purpose in life. You believe that? Listen though, when we get out of bounds of what God, how God has designed life to work, listen, life begins to work against you. In this text, it's going to show how this can work against us in marriage. Okay, and so 1 Peter chapter 3. And by the way, listen, if you're not married here, all these things that we're going to be reading about today still apply. Okay, listen, if you're not married, this is not a chance to check out. But this is a chance to see how good God is. For us to walk closer with Him and hopefully be encouraged. No matter what walk of life we're in. So 1 Peter chapter 3, if you found that, if you would stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word, we're going to start in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the Word, they may be won over without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respect and your pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, and Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. Verse 7, likewise, husbands, Live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they're heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. This is the reading of God's Word. You may be seated. I just read this week an article in Forbes magazine that said that the average marriage is 8.8 years. Okay, like that's the culture in which we live. Okay, like the average marriage is 8.8 years. Listen, divorce that happens even within the church, it's done more damage to marriage than anything outside the church that we'll ever see. And listen, if you are married or you have at any point been married, listen, you know how difficult marriage is, right? Like it's tough. The only one who thinks that marriage isn't tough is the engaged, right? Like that's everyone else knows how difficult marriage is. And listen, Satan knows that too. And what Satan's going to come in is he's going to come in and try to disrupt everything, right? Like he's going to come in and he's going to try to make your marriage miserable, and he's going to whisper things into your ear, and he's going to create in you this sense of entitlement, and he's going to do everything he can to try to destroy it. Because God comes in and he says that the church is his bride, and he's going to use marriage as a way to communicate to the world his love for us. And so certainly, there's an enemy that's going to do everything he can to destroy it. And listen, it doesn't matter what age or how long you've been married. You know, we're doing this marriage event, and a lot of the couples that have been married for a long time, they're kind of joking, they're running joke. No matter if it's this church or any church I've ever done a marriage event at, they're kind of like, "We've been married for 57 years. What are you going to teach us about marriage?" That's kind of like the running joke. Listen, just heard this last week. A guy in our area, in his 70s, going through a divorce. Listen, it's a reality. Like the enemy makes havoc. And he takes two people, many times they love the Lord. And he comes in and he does everything he can to destroy. Fact of the matter is, even in this room, there are men and women who felt the pain of what I'm talking about. And they've experienced it firsthand. And so listen, whether you're married this morning or not, listen, I've got one point. All right? One idea. Regardless of where you're at today, listen, one point. Hope in God. Hope in God. Like it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. Hope in God. If we build it on anything else, it's a house of cards that will eventually fall. So hope in God. One idea, hope in God. You guys with me this morning? All right, hope in God. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend our time looking at things in this text, married or not. We're going to spend time looking in this text that cause us to lose hope. All right? And that the hope is that when we get to the end, we'll have greater confidence in God and we'll place a greater hope in God. Okay? One point. What is it? Hope in God. All right, you guys are getting it. Hope in God. So let's look at some things that cause us to lose hope. All right, here we are. Here's what causes us to lose hope. Number one, for ladies, here's what causes us to lose hope. Here for wives, listen, when their husband takes no interest in the Word. Like this is what causes wives to lose hope when her husband takes no interest in the Word. And it's been my experience, like I'm not some marriage counseling guru. Right, like couples come to me for marriage counseling, I might mess them up more than anything. Like I'm not an expert at this. I've been married, we're closing on 12 years. It's been like this, like everyone's every marriage. I'm not an expert, but listen, from my limited experience, the number one issue with godly women is that their husbands show no interest in the Word. Look at verse 1. I'm sorry, yeah, verse 1. Verse 1, likewise. And by the way, can I just tell you what this likewise means? Let's back up. I'm gonna back up. Don't look at verse 1. Likewise, like he's finishing a thought. Back up to chapter 2 and look at verse 9 with me. So we got to get this before we go any further. Listen to what he's going to say in verse 9. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light. Once you weren't a people, now you're God's people. Once you haven't received mercy, now you have. Verse 11, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of His visitation. And so, like, after that, he's going to talk about submitting to authority. He's going to talk about government. He's going to talk about work issues. And now he's getting into marriage and he's saying likewise. So, like, likewise, because you're a chosen people, because you're a royal priesthood, because He's called you from darkness to light, because He's called you to proclaim His excellencies, because of all that, this is what it looks like in marriage. And so back to verse 1 and talking about wives losing hope because their husbands take no interest in the Word. Look what it says, verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Listen, so that even if some do not obey the Word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. It's discouraging. It's discouraging for a wife who loves the Lord when her husband takes no interest in the Word. Husbands, listen. Husbands, you put your wife in a pretty bad spot when you don't obey the Word. I mean, she's like in between a rock and a hard place when you don't obey the Word. Like when you don't treat her and you don't lead her the way God has called you to as a husband, you put her in a tough spot. You get that? Because right here in verse 3, God is calling wives to submit to a husband. And the assumption is that He's going to love the Lord and lead her and be gentle with her. But listen, you put her in a tough spot. When she loves the Lord, and she's supposed to follow you, but you care nothing about leading the family in ways of the Lord, you put her in a tough, tough spot. Man, can I tell you that your calling is to lead? Like what God desires for you is to lead your family and lead your family well. And I was talking to a couple this week that they've been doing family worship. And they said, you know what? We've never done that before. But we're really excited about it. We've gathered our kids around the Word and we've done it and it's been good. Can I tell you that that's going to change the legacy and the direction of that family for all eternity, because a dad and a mom has decided that they're going to take it upon themselves to gather their kids around the Word. Men, that's your calling. And you cause your wife to lose hope when you don't do that. When you don't lead in the way that God has called you to lead. Women, what do you do? What do you do when your husband doesn't care anything about the Word? You know, what do you do? Look at verse 2. Well, let's back up to verse 1. So that even if some do not obey the Word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Verse 2. When they see your respectful and pure conduct. Ladies, can I tell you that if you have a husband that does not love the Lord, does not love His Word, can I tell you that you can still hope in God? You can still follow Him. And you can do it in a way that brings respect and pure conduct in your relation towards your husband. A way that honors the Lord and respects your husband. It can be done. Don't lose hope. Hope in God. Hope in God allows you to be respectful and pure even when He doesn't deserve it. Right? Like, I mean, how How many of that's the argument? Like, don't raise your hand, but how many of that's the argument? Like, I'm not going to be respectful to my husband. I'm not going to be pure conduct to my husband. I'm going to give him an earful because he's not doing his job. He doesn't deserve my respect. Can I tell you that, ladies, if you are to hope in God, there's a way to respect and honor your husband and still love and honor God at the same time. Don't lose hope. Trust the process. Trust that if you relate to your husband the way God is calling you, listen, maybe not every husband, but some will see the gospel through you, see the gospel on display as you live it out. And some husbands will come to know Christ through the demonstration of the gospel and the way you relate to them. So what causes wives to lose hope? When husbands take no interest in the Word. There's another reason here that wives tend to lose hope. Wives tend to lose hope when their efforts go unnoticed. When their efforts go unnoticed. Look at verse 3. It says, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing that you wear." Now listen, as Peter's writing this, ladies, okay, just breathe, okay, because he's not saying you can't fix your hair before you go out, okay? He's not saying don't put on your makeup before you go out. He's not saying you can't wear jewelry. Listen, that's not what he's talking about here. Okay, like this text, when he says the braiding of your hair, the putting on of jewelry, the clothing you wear, listen, what he's talking about has less to do it has less to do with your appearance, and it has more to do with your efforts in trying to fix your husband. Well, here's what I mean by that. Ladies, how many times have you ever thought, well, if I just did this, then he'd come around? Like if I just looked like this, then he'd come around and he'd treat me with respect and honor. If I just did this around the house, then he'd treat me with respect and honor. If I just did this during intimacy, then he'd come around. Can I tell you that that's exhausting? Ladies, is it not? We spend time trying to fix other people and we think if I just did this. Ladies, when you do certain things and your efforts go unnoticed, you have a tendency to lose hope. But look at verse 4. It says, "Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit," listen, "which in God's sight is very precious." Ladies, your husband might not notice the efforts that you put in, but God does. Do you see the description here? That when your adorning is this internal, that you live with a hope in God, and that drives you to do what you do. That this adorning is from the heart. The description is that it is precious in God's sight. He sees every tear that falls. He knows every broken heart. It feels like no one cares. It feels like your husband takes no interest in the Word. And it feels like everything you do goes unnoticed. There's a God that knows. And you can hope in Him because you're precious. You're precious to Him. All the brokenness of the world that maybe was caused, all the brokenness in your life that was maybe caused towards you or maybe even caused by you, there's a God who thinks you're precious. You can hope in Him. Let's read on verse 5. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God, there's that phrase, the holy women who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now listen, if you're reading a new Bible plan and you're including the Old Testament, it almost always starts in Genesis, right? Because that's the beginning. So we're kind of finishing up Genesis in our Bible reading at home. I love Genesis. I love the story of Abraham and Sarah. And like half the time, I want to shake Abraham, right? Like if you've read that, don't you just want to shake him or really slap him? Okay, that's what I want to do sometimes, because like Abraham, he gets a calling from the Lord, and he goes, he's like, all right, we're moving, right? Like ladies, don't you love it when your husband does that? Hey, we're moving, right? Like he doesn't really consult you. He doesn't say, hey, let's pray through this together. This is what God. He just says, pack up, we're going. Leave your family, leave your land. You're not taking that. We don't have room for that. And he's like, come on. And so what does she do? She just follows him where he goes. You get to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, they go to a new location. And apparently Sarah is very beautiful. And that scares Abraham because he thinks that everyone's going to be attracted to her and they're going to kill him so that they can have his wife. So here's the idea that he comes up with. It's not, hey, don't put any makeup on, leave your hair a mess. So it's not, hey, stay in the tent. It's not any of that. It's tell them you're my sister. Great idea, right? Well done, Abraham. Tell them you're, and so you get to Genesis chapter 12, and then he repeats this later. But Genesis chapter 12, you know what happens? The Pharaoh of Egypt takes her as his wife. Okay? Now listen. It's a PG story. You don't read a lot of the details, but this guy takes her as his wife, and apparently in Genesis chapter 12, some time goes by, and she is his wife. Okay, like don't go to the gutter, but you can kind of guess what goes on, husband and wife. Okay, this guy takes her as his wife because Abraham is a coward. Always something with him. The description here is that even when her husband's being a knucklehead, her hope remains in God. And one day God gives her a child through her husband Abraham. And the promise is all nations on the face of the earth will be blessed because of this son. Because of his son, eventually Christ would come. All nations would be blessed because of this woman, as she hoped in God. It causes ladies to lose hope when their husband takes no interest in the Word, when their efforts go unnoticed. Look at verse 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. Ladies, can I tell you that it can be very frightening when your husband does not follow Christ? Places you may go, the hurt you may be put through, it can be a frightening thing when your husband will not follow Christ. But the calling here is to hope in God, to trust God. Because if you fear nothing that is frightening, let me just say something. What this is not saying here is not talking about abuse. like, listen, ladies, can I just say that if you are in a place where whatever guy is abusing you or your kids, can I encourage you to get to a safe place? You don't have to put up with someone hurting you. For the sake of not going through something difficult. Ladies, can I just say to get to a safe place. A place where you can hope in God. A place where you can flourish in God. And to not sit under an abusive. Reasons we lose hope. Ladies, when a husband takes no interest in the word. When your efforts go unnoticed. But you can hope in God. Let me talk about a couple reasons why guys, really there's just one reason here why guys tend to lose hope. Here's why guys tend to lose hope. Guys tend to lose hope when they have a hindered prayer life. Alright? Hindered prayer life. Look at verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Guys, you ever been to that place where your prayers are hindered? Here's how you know that your prayers are hindered. When you pray consistently and God does not answer. Okay? Like, He doesn't say yes to everything that we do, everything we ask. But when you pray consistently and your prayers go unanswered, they're probably being hindered. And so what do? You stop praying, right? You stop praying because you pray and you pray and pray. It doesn't make any difference. And so you get to the point where you stop praying. Guys, I mean, if we're honest, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you were honest, how many are there? That you don't pray much, not because you don't know how, that's not the reason, not because you don't have time, but just when you pray, it seems to make no difference. A few years ago, several years back, I was part of a group of guys' prayer that God was doing incredible things in. Like there was this one guy that he was into drugs and he had abused his wife. But God saved him. And I mean, he made a complete change. And God set him free from that addiction. And then he started praying. And we started praying with him. God, heal the marriage. God, heal the marriage. God, heal the marriage. You know what happened? God healed the marriage. There was another guy, his grown son. He had gotten into some drug abuse. This guy showed up at the prayer meeting. God, heal my son. God, heal my son. You know what? God set his son free of that addiction. And then what happened was God started answering a prayer here, and he'd answer a prayer here, and he'd answer a prayer here. You know what that did? That created lots of excitement. And guys started showing up. It was a packed house. But over time, as they got the answer that they wanted, they prayed a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less. So there's just a handful of guys. Kind of like our prayer meeting here on Tuesdays. At one point, we were having 25, 30 guys show up. Now, just a handful. Why is that, guys? Is it because we have nothing to pray about? Or is it because our prayers seem to not matter? They're not being answered. Seems to me that one of the things that cause men to lose hope is that when they do pray or they do read the Bible or they do this or that, it doesn't seem real. And so they withdraw. when we pray, guys, listen, when we pray, men, and it seems it's a waste, it causes us to lose hope. Now, if I can chase a rabbit for just a second, the question's obvious. But let me go ahead and ask it for guys, because we're a little slow. I am, right? Listen, what causes our prayers to be hindered that then in turn causes us to lose hope? Listen, here's what causes our prayers to be hindered. Listen, when we're inconsiderate towards our spouse. Okay, like, it's amazing that God hearing and answering our prayer or not hearing and answering our prayer is tied to the treatment of our wife. Like, look at this. Here's what causes our prayers to be hindered. Us being inconsiderate of our spouse. Look at verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Live with your wife in a considerate way. Now listen, I learned the hard way, right? Like I have learned over the years that my wife works harder than me. All right? Like she stays at home, and like in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I'm gonna stay home, I'm gonna play the Xbox a little bit, go out and mow in the yard, sleep in. And she's got it easy, right? Guys, I promise you that your wife works harder than you. All right? Taking care of you, that's a tough enough job. I mean, you got kids. Listen, she works harder than you. And listen, it takes me being reminded of this from time to time. Like all it takes is a few hours, her going running some errands, me being home with the kids, to come to the conclusion really quickly that she works harder than me. Okay, like she's going to speak at this ladies' event coming up in a couple weeks. And she's going to be gone 2 whole nights, right? Like, it's 2 weeks away, and I'm already beginning to prepare myself mentally, physically, emotionally. All the things that we get onto our wives, you're too emotional. I'm preparing myself. Because she works harder than me. Many of you have wives that work out of the home, and then they come home and cook for you, clean for you, put the kids to bed for you. Also, you can sit down and watch ESPN. It's a tough life. She works harder than you. Be considerate of her. Clean up after you eat. Give the kids a bath. You put them down and read to them, and kiss them goodnight. Give her a break. Be considerate of her. You don't know how hard I've got it at work. Not as hard as she has. Be considerate. Seek to understand her before you expect her to understand you, where you're coming from. If not, our prayers will be hindered. We'll get discouraged. We'll stop praying. Look what else causes hindered prayers. Look what else. Number 2, negligence. Look at verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Showing honor to him. Look at how Paul writes in Ephesians concerning our relationship with our spouse. If you look at just the imagery there, he says you're to love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Take selfishness out of the way I'm going to love my spouse. In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about how you're to relate to your wife, and he describes it as a gentle washing with the word. Not a power wash from your power tool. But this gentleness as you wash her, as you bathe her in the word. That you not neglect your wife. but you honor her as the weaker vessel. And there's a lot of people use this the wrong way. They say, oh, she's just weak physically. She's weak mentally, emotionally. They use this the wrong way. Like the wording here, the weaker vessel, it describes something that's fragile. It describes something as expensive, something as priceless. And that's how we're to relate to our wife. And according to Scripture, when we don't, our prayer life becomes hindered, and we lose hope and grow discouraged, and we stop praying. There's another reason. Let me just say, go after her heart. One more thing. Go after her heart. Guys, you remember how you went after her heart when you were dating? Like, I got to remind myself of this, and I know Randy's probably like, who's he talking about? Listen. Guys, we've got to go after their heart. Like we did when we were dating. Like we did when we were engaged. It's not some trophy that you finally conquered her and you move on. Go after her heart. Okay, the third thing that causes our prayer life to be hindered is a sense of entitlement. A sense of entitlement. Verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel. Listen, since they're heirs with you of the grace of life. It describes a relationship as an heir. Not you up here, not her down here. Not unequal in any way, right? Like distinct, different, yes, but equal. If the description here is that you treat her as an heir, treat her as a partner. Listen, anytime we do less than that, this sense of entitlement creeps in, right? Like, I'm going to treat her like this because she did that. Or I'm not going to do that for her because she didn't do that for me. And so what happens is when we don't treat them as partners, we don't treat them as heirs of the gospel, entitlement begins to creep in and we treat her bad, thinking that we're justified in that. And I was just thinking, you don't know my wife. I don't have to. I know God. Guys, I know what we're called to do and called to be. Let me ask you, do you treat her as you think she deserves, or do you treat her as a daughter of the King? Because that'll go a long way saying whether or not you have a sense of entitlement that causes you to become discouraged because your prayer life is not being answered. Guys, listen, if you're walking in any of these, inconsiderate toward your spouse, negligence toward your spouse, a sense of entitlement toward your spouse, listen, your prayer life will be hindered and there'll be a loss of hope. Now, recently, for a while, felt like just the enemy was attacking our family, like maybe a sense of affliction, particularly towards one of the kids. Just a sense of affliction played out in the way they behave and whatnot. And so we try to do it like the good parent, right? Let's discipline out of them, right? And then there's this, let's pray about it. It might work okay for a little bit. Listen, the sense of affliction of the enemy attacking the family. Listen, the last couple of weeks, we have just set in our mind that we're going to pray and that we're going to respond in the way God would have us to do. And you know what's happening? It's been a different kid. A different kid. Because we're praying. We're praying this situation through. And you know what the difference is? Because we prayed about it before and nothing really seems to happen. You know what the only difference is that we can trace? And I was talking to Randy about this this week, why our prayer has mattered recently. and why it didn't seem to make much difference back then. The only thing that I can come up with, having read the Scripture this week, is that over the last several weeks, there's been lots of confession around our house about where I've been laying down as a dad, where I've been laying down as a husband. Now, there's been repentance in, we're not going to let the day go by that we don't talk about things of the Lord. We're not going to let the day go by that we don't pray together, that we're not going to let the day go by that we don't gather around the Word. Sometimes that's only 5 minutes. That's sometimes up to the one day of school. But there's been a determination, there's been a repentance, if you will, that I'm not going to let this happen anymore. It's my job. And God has begun to set some things free, some chains, begun the process of breaking some chains, like we just talked about. I don't know what I'm going to pray today, later, that maybe God doesn't answer. But I can tell you that God's been answering prayer in my own household as a result of some unhindered prayer that's just happened recently. Listen, can I tell you it's easy to not do our job? Like, guys, it's easy not to pray. Guys, it's easy to not be considerate of your spouse. It's easy to show negligence to your spouse. That's easy. It's easy to have a sense of entitlement. Like, you deserve this, they deserve that. That's easy. Like, it's easy to not do our job. And ladies, I'm just going to guess. I'm not a lady, but I'm just going to guess that it's easy for you to not do your job. Like, I'm going to guess that it's easy for you to get frustrated when your husband doesn't care anything about the things of the Lord. It's probably easy for you to tell him about it in a way that's less than holy. It's probably easy. It's probably easy to get all bent out of shape when your efforts go unnoticed. Like, it's easy for us to do what we're not supposed to do, right? I guess it's just a preacher thing. Scratch everything I've said. No, don't. Because it is. It's easy for us to do what we're not supposed to. Right? Like, that's how we're bent. Right? Can I tell you guys that we need Jesus? But like, in your marriage, you need Jesus. Like, in your singleness, you need Jesus. The loss of a loved one, you need Jesus. Like, if you've gone through a divorce, listen, you need Jesus. Like everything in life, we need Jesus. Right? Please don't hear, well, my 7 steps to being a better husband today is to do this, 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 and this. I tell you, we need Jesus. We need to press into Jesus. Listen, if your rib hurts from where your wife's been elbowing you for the last 30 minutes, can I tell you that one of the reasons God gives us marriage is to sanctify us? Like, I don't know what it was, but like, before I was married, I was a pretty good guy, right? Like, I had it all figured out, pretty good guy. And like, now that I'm married, I realize how selfish and sinful I am. Right? You know why that is? It's not because God's using Randy to point out all my bad stuff. What about this? What about this? It's because God has ordained a sanctification process that when two sinners live together, the ugliness rises to the top. And listen, when your ugliness rises to the top, you can do one of two things. You can lock horns, or you can press into Christ. Let me encourage you to press in to Christ. The whole purpose of why He died, because we needed Him. We need Him in all things. And so my hope today is that as you walk away, that you'll walk away placing a hope in God for your marriage. That you'll walk away placing a hope in God for your parenting. That you'll walk away placing hope in God for your singleness. That you'll walk away placing your faith and trust in God for salvation if you have not done so. Listen, if He's leading you, part of what we were praying for you up here just a minute ago, if He's leading you to give your life to Him, we're praying for you. You trust Him as your Savior if He leads you. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the sharpness of it. And God, I'm going to go out on a limb. And I'm going to assume that there's some ladies here who've lost some hope for some things we talked about. And I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that there's some guys here who have lost hope and their prayer lives are hindered because of the things we've talked about here today. Thank you that you're not a God that just shakes your finger at us. That you're not a God wanting us to feel bad. But you're a God wanting to lead us to repentance so that we can walk out of here joyful and restored. God, I pray for men and women, married, not married, to give them a desire to pursue you in these things towards the lady in their life. Might be a teenager in a relationship towards his mother. Would you lead him to respond to the lady in his life the way that he'll one day respond to his wife? Thank you for your word. Thank you for answered prayer. I pray that you'll break some chains. We love you and praise things in Jesus' name.